The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Patter Tobin is a TD for Meath West and the A2 leader. He's with me now. Patter, we meet again.
Yes.
You disappointed that Maria Steen didn't make it?
It is a big disappointment, to be honest. I do think that Maria is a very intelligent woman. She's very sharp. She's incredibly articulate. I think she would have made an incredible contribution to this particular election. And I also believe that there's hundreds of thousands of people in this country that simply don't have a voice in this election campaign. I think without her, actually, this election campaign gets a lot duller. I think there's going to be a lot less engagement in it. There's like two government TDs who are kind of like candidates, I should say. And then there's Catherine Connolly, who's also very good, but she won't appeal to everybody.
And hundreds of thousands. I mean, that's gilding the lily, isn't it? I mean, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael represent the two largest parties, you've got Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats, Labour, People Before Profit, everybody else on the left supporting Catherine Connolly. I mean, there's very, very few left in the Oireachtas then who fall into the undecided category, certainly in the Dáil. So who are these hundreds of thousands unrepresented?
So, for example, the Dáil in many ways can be a bubble. And I think that bubble was burst significantly last year during the referendums when actually all of those political parties fully supported the referendum passing.
And the referendum failed. Plenty of backbenchers were opposed to
it. Well, and as I said, you know, there is plenty of Fianna Fáilers who were opposed to Jim Gavin being selected as well. So there's an actual fact. One of the interesting things...
Do you think that the hundreds of thousands you talk about, some of them are Fianna Fáilers, you think? Do you think that's where she might have taken votes from?
I think that she would appeal, first of all, to anti-government votes. I think the major dichotomy in the political space at the moment is between pro-government and anti-government votes. I think some people are ideologically disposed, but many people actually span the spectrum. And I think she would have appealed to a big chunk of those individuals. But there's no doubt she would have shaved a significant vote off Fianna Fáil and off Fine Gael. And I actually think that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael pulled the ladder up through their use of so-called independence to stop her getting onto the ballot because they didn't want a significant challenger in relation to those two candidates. It actually suits Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael that there's less interest in this presidential election and that there's a lower turnout in this election.
Well, Pat Leahy is with us as well, the political editor with the Irish Times. Pat, how might Maria Steen have changed the dynamic of the race?
Well, we'll never know, I suppose, will we? I think if you look at presidential elections, voters tend to look at them not through purely party political lens. Now, of course, there's a lot of voters out there who are dyed-in-the-wool, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, left-wing voters, whatever, and they will go for the candidate that their party or political grouping is running. But the broad middle ground thinks about presidential elections in a slightly different way. And we've seen that in recent years with the, you know, variety of different candidates from all different backgrounds, all sorts of different backgrounds running in them. I suppose the presidential election that sort of broke the mold was the 1990 election when Mary Robinson, who was backed by Labour but wasn't a traditional political candidate, I suppose, got in. Maria Steen, it seems to me, would have been very much at home in that space. Someone who has a political persona and has a clear set of ideological beliefs, a clear position on some of the big questions that the Irish public has decided about, but would also have been able to project herself as somebody who could speak for all of the voters, speak for the country. So, you know, from that point of view, I can see Patter's point that she is a loss to the campaign. But, you know, we have rules, to limit entry to it. And anyone who saw, you know, the county councils with, you know, 10, 13, 14 candidates who were, you know, to be kind about it, not serious candidates for anything, let alone the presidency of Ireland, will realise that you do have to have rules. And it seems to me that the failure, Maria Steen's failure, Patter's failure, if I can be so bold, is not to get those independent senators or more independent TDs. It was a little, I think, maybe naive is a kind word, disingenuous might be a better word, in expecting Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to nominate somebody else's candidate when they are running candidates.
Did you
themselves.
Leave it too late, Patter, to do all this?
Just, I think the key question here is about the threshold of nomination.
I'm going to ask you about that, absolutely, JJ, but did you leave it too late?
Listen, the
individual... Like Mary Robinson, Pat just mentioned, January, yeah. I think she started her campaign to get on the ticket.
Yeah, no, look...
Very late in the day from Rhys Dean.
Historically, actually, people started way later. I think David Norris started nearly a year in advance in that particular campaign. But
David Norris's name was swirling around the Oris for years beforehand. Yes. You know, it always had been.
Listen, it was left late. There's no doubt about that. That's a fair criticism. But just in terms of the threshold, and this is a key point. So this is an outlier in comparison to all the other elections that are fought in this country. Nowhere else is the threshold so high to get on. And I do agree that you need to have a filter. You can't have a situation where you have like a 2 foot long ballot paper in relation to this. But I do think that that threshold was designed in 1937 when we had a two-party state in which we didn't have the fractured political views that exist currently. And I do think that that needs to be changed. And we in AIM2 will bring about a bill to see can we actually lower the threshold for individuals to get on the ballot and do so in a fair way that there's still a filtration system to make sure that people are of good quality before they
and
get on
that
particular
ballot.
And would
you do it just very simply, just reduce it from 20 to 10 Oireachtas members or a certain percentage of councillors around the country or change it altogether?
Yeah, I think those 2 points are valid points. I think you could get it to a situation where maybe there was up to 200 councillors across the country signed a nomination paper, or you could have a situation where maybe 12 to 15 TDs or senators signed it, which would lower it. I do think the subtext to some of this election as well is that, you know, in Fianna Fáil, there was definitely ructions within Fianna Fáil in terms of this. We know that Micheál Martin's office was putting the thumb on a lot of TDs that they couldn't sign. And also there's a question over some of those senators and TDs in terms of why exactly that they were willing to stand on the same platform as Maria Steen in terms of the referendum just gone by.
Yeah.
You know, why they a lot of them have similar politics, and yet why would they not stand up for the democratic right of a person
to
get on?
Who are you talking about there?
Well, I do think that Michael McDougall, Victor Boyan and Gerard Crock will have a serious question.
Have you been talking to Michael McDougall?
Well, I find it interesting that many of these people, when they're standing for election...
No, but have you been talking to him?
No, I didn't get a chance.
Did he not answer your phone?
And there's a point here, like, you know, in terms of Victor Boyan, we had 73 councillors sign a letter to say that they were the people who elected him into position, and he didn't even answer the phone to their calls. And I think that's quite incredible.
Pat, you're going to be writing about this for the next few weeks, right? And I'm going to be talking about it here and on the TV. So maybe I shouldn't say this, but is it going to be a bit boring? Is it going to be a bit boring?
Well, look, I think if you took a straw poll amongst political correspondents, irrespective of their private political views, I think they'd have all have said, you know, they would like more candidates in the race. You have three candidates, you know, two from the two government parties and one from the broad left. So, you know, the sort of wide variety of candidates that we've seen in recent presidential elections won't be available on this occasion. The one thing I would say, though, is if you look back at the history of presidential elections, back to and including 1990, there's always, you know, sometimes absurd lurches in it. Look back to 2011. If that election had been held 3 days earlier, it would be President Sean Gallagher who is now finishing up his two terms in Áras an Uachtaráin. So we have seen that we saw it in 1990, not so much in 2018, but we saw it definitely a couple of times. Remember what happened to David Norris in 2011. So I would caution against saying, you know, we're all going to snooze our way through this for the next 4 weeks.
You're dead right. It's going to be really exciting reading in the Irish Times and the Hard Shoulder in the Tonight Show.
One postscript to that I would say, however, is that I suspect that the campaign really won't get going until after the budget. Then you've got like a week and a half or so. And if there's going to be lurches, that's when I would expect
In that week and a half then, and in the time we've left, for those three candidates, what are the challenge each of them faces then in striking a chord with the undecided voter? You know, there's a core of people who today will vote for them, and that's not going to change come the 24th of October. What they need to do between now and then is convince those undecideds to actually vote for them.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it now, you know, all the caveats about late lurches having been entered.
And landmines stood on and all of that
sort of
thing.
For sure. But to look at it now, you would say the key contest is probably between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to see who can get ahead of the others to benefit from the elimination of the other one. How do they do that? Actually, it's not really a party political election in that respect. As I was saying earlier, I think what they need to do is appeal to the middle ground. They need to demonstrate to people that they can be, you know, somebody who is a unifying figure at home, represents them with credibility and distinction abroad, is somebody who won't drop the constitutional ball. I had an old law lecturer once who described the role of the president as a constitutional goalkeeper, that if the, you know, if the political defence left the opposing forwards through, that it was up to the president to save the constitution. And I think that people have a sense of that in a way that is actually kind of above politics.
Patter.
Yeah, I think actually the more similar candidates are, the more actually lurches in the polls you could actually find. Because, you know, if the debate is not about things of consequence, real difference in values, real difference in ideals and ideology, if it's just about slips and mistakes and maybe a skeleton in a tweet from 20 years ago, well, then you're more likely to have big changes in it. And I think that's the kind of election we're likely to have at the moment, because, you know, there's no doubt that the two government candidates are so similar, and it's hard to differentiate them.
Who will you vote for?
Well, I won't be voting for the government, I can tell you that. And we're going to have
you won't spoil your vote, will you?
No, like, but and that's one of the things I'm seeing on social media at the moment is seemingly a campaign for a spoiled vote situation. And
would you discourage people to do that?
At this moment in time, I would discourage people to do that, because I think at, you know, in an election, sometimes it's the individual that's the least worst that you have to pitch for. I do think Catherine Connolly is a good woman.
I don't think she'd be putting that in the poster now.
No.
Great political slogans. For me, the least
worst. Catherine is a good woman. She's a woman of integrity, but we won't be voting for the government.
Patter Tobin, TD for Meath West, and A2 leader Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.